Hey, it's your host, Abigail Pumphrey, and I'm on a personal mission to help more small business owners become financially free. I like to nerd out on all things business, marketing, and most definitely the numbers. I'm talking all the lessons learned as I turned a layoff into a seven-figure online business. I like to share it all, and no conversation is off the table. We talk actionable strategies, biz challenges, and all the things life throws your way. Grief, anxiety, loss, and resilience are all topics you'll find here. So grab a cup of coffee and settle in because you're listening to the Strategy Hour podcast, brought to you by Boss Project. Have you ever absolutely panicked after you accidentally deleted a file on your computer? I know I have. It's not an issue if you've got CrashPlan Smart Recovery. Your files are just a few clicks away and can be restored in a snap. CrashPlan provides the best cloud backup solutions in the market. Visit CrashPlan.com/BossProject for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. Now you can protect all your work with an unlimited backup and recovery solution. CrashPlan makes it simple to restore some or all of your data. And with unlimited version retention, CrashPlan can be your ultimate rewind button. Get unlimited computer backup for you or your business with CrashPlan Professional. CrashPlan backs up files that live on your computer and works with PC, Mac, and Linux. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to CrashPlan.com/BossProject for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's CrashPlan.com/BossProject for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan.
Today on the show, we have Meg Clark. She is the owner and founder of Clapping Dog Media, where she is the master of growing organic traffic. By using data, proven techniques, and years of experience, Meg and her team help turn web visitors into raving fans that not only stick around, but convert into paying customers.
And that's what we're talking about all month long. So this is another amazing piece of content for you guys to get tangible strategies on how you can do the exact same thing. So you guys know how in multiple episodes already in the last couple months, we have teased how we've been like diving into SEO and like really spending time and being intentional about reaching specific goals for our content. And it started to pay off. Well, we brought Meg, who's actually doing that work for us at Boss Project, on today to kind of break down some of those strategies, give you ideas on how you guys can look at your content differently, and really, really structure your content to work for you both long term, but also like actually make you money, because we care about both of those things. So this is a really good one. Get your notebook out, and I cannot wait to see the content that you guys start putting out.
Hey, Meg, welcome to the show.
Hello. I'm so excited to be here.
Hello.
We're excited to have you and talk more about blogging and SEO and content that converts and being really intentional about all the things. But before we jump into the episode, I feel like I have to pay homage to 6 years ago me, because I was really dedicated, and I'm just really proud that like it's still paying off now. So because...
I mean, there I want to give you, I'm standing and clapping for you. Amen. I totally agree. And 6 years ago, Abby was a legit rock star.
Well, it's funny though. You don't often do things thinking, well, I hope someday maybe.
Hopefully in 6 years, this pays off.
Right. You know what's really shocking though? One of our articles that we wrote 5 years ago makes up what? 23% of our total traffic.
As a matter of fact, it does. It brings in day after day, week after week, it brings in a lot of traffic. Yes.
Well, I'm excited to dive in, because here's the thing. While we've been dedicated to creating content for 6 years, and I would say it's not that we haven't been paying attention to what would work. I definitely think we've been doing our own version of like, how to optimize by Googling ourselves or by searching on Pinterest ourselves. We never really had the tools or access to the knowledge that you have. And so it's been interesting to dive a little bit deeper into better optimizing both the content we do have and the content we're putting out and creating now. So I just wanted to kind of give a behind the scenes look at what it's been like to really focus on SEO this year. What we thought would turn into be like a 3 month project has turned into a lifelong dedication to optimization. And Meg's become a much more permanent staple in our team. So,
yay.
First of all, thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
And thank you for spending so much time on my website.
I love your website. And I think it is worth noting that without even knowing it, 6 years ago or 3 years ago, 2 years ago, your goal for writing content was to be helpful to your people, and so that your people would get engaged and they would learn and they would grow and be a better version of themselves. And that is the foundation of good SEO, is be helpful, be a thought leader, write good content that's engaging, that people like and share. And you are literally 90% there. I think we're reaping that today. And I think the difference within the last 6 months has been, we've been really strategic. We've been keeping a really tight eye on data and watching where people come and really capitalizing on the little wins that we can get. But for realsies, you've done a really great job.
We were like the only business back in the day still blogging like 5 days a week.
Yes.
I think we were like kicking off our careers blogging 5 days a week when everyone else was like, I quit blogging and you don't need blogging. And we're like typing away at everything.
And like for realsies today, people are like, you can quit it. Just dance on TikTok and you will get business. And you're like, no.
Well, and it's like, I know you can do, obviously, you can do any marketing strategy. That's not really the problem here. The thing that I want you guys thinking about, and what we kind of have dubbed the theme for September, is working on strategies that have long-term results and will serve you even years in the future. Mm-hmm. And while TikTok is definitely one of my favorite pastimes, endlessly, it's really hard to say where it's going to be 3 and 5 years from now.
Right.
But what I can tell you is the internet's not going away. And if you own your own website and URL, you get to decide if it's going to stay there and still be relevant or not. Right. So I'd love to just start at the beginning. Like, what essentially came up is we were like, not only do we want to optimize what we do have, but we actually decided on a goal. Like, we want to target a
goal. Yeah.
Like a very specific affiliate. We want to create traction and build momentum to increase dollars. Cause I mean, what it really comes down to, I mean, I don't get me wrong.
Right.
Love creating content, but you guys want stuff that's working for you.
So highly convertible content. Convertible, right. So, as in dollars.
So we created this goal and contacted you and was like, hey, like, not really sure how to go about this, but this is the idea. So I'd love to kind of just start at the beginning. If you identify, hey, like, I want to work towards X, I know my product that I'm going to sell is Y, or I could get in front of people knowing this amount of information, where do you even start?
That's a great question. And there's lots that we can get into. So especially with you, you had a specific goal, which was wonderful. And we said, great, we are going to focus on that. And so what that meant for you guys is 80% of your content is around this topic. And it talks about, you know, FAQs, what the benefit would be, how you can use this tool if you are, you know, an event planner, a photographer, a coach, a business owner. And we really took that topic and looked at it from a 360 degree view. And what my team did was figured out how people are using it. What questions are they asking? What are the FAQs? What are they writing about? What are they complaining about in the search forms? And from that, we built a very focused content calendar that really focused on all aspects of this term. And well, not just a term, but like this idea, this theme that we wanted to be found for.
Helping people in a certain way.
That's exactly right. And so we didn't use the same word over and over, but we used related words and related questions. And at the same time, really trying to be helpful and answering what the user is looking for. And we know they're looking for it because of the research that we did.
Yeah.
And that's what we did. And we spent a lot of time focusing on it. I think for the first 3 months, we wrote 6 blogs a month about that topic. And
yeah,
it was 4 to 6. It was quite a lot. And 2 to 3 months. So I would guess, 4 or 5 months in, we kind of hit the racetrack with it. The That's group. Not the right word. But we it suddenly took off, and we were getting measurable results from specific search terms and from specific articles that we could see the amount of traffic that people were spending on these articles about this topic, and we could see that they were clicking on the related articles. And so we could clearly tell that they were benefiting you in terms of visibility, and we were getting the right user to your site.
Well, right. And I think two things really stood out for me for anyone who might be kind of going through these same thought processes when they want to commit to something like this. One, as the copywriter brainstormer of content for Boss Project, at first I was like, this is going to feel really pigeonholy for my creativity. And like, I felt really overwhelmed with like coming up with so many different pieces of content that were different enough, but speaking to the same person and helpful enough. But we have an amazing team, and we have an amazing long form copywriter on our team who like total rock star when it comes to this type of content. And honestly, like the more specific we got in the vibe of our content that we're putting out, even for a short window of time, I could come up with 1,000 more ideas, I feel like, on what we could say about this, just because clarity came, results came, the benefit for our readers came. And when all of that stuff happens, it gets you excited about creating content that's like that. But then the other thing that I kind of thought about going into it, quite honestly, was this is going to take forever. Like, we're not going to see results for a year, you know, like the end of this year, we'll start to kind of see that all of this stuff was worth it. I was astounded that it was within just 3, 4, 5 months that I was like, holy shit balls, this is incredible. And like, I'm like, can I do twice as much as what we're doing right now and like expedite the results even more? But we didn't do that.
We didn't. No, but we can.
Not yet.
And we can apply it to other topics. Like, yes. The good news, and this goes right into what Abby was saying in the beginning, the benefit is never going to go away. So if we switch our focus and pivot on another service or another opportunity, the work that we did with the first project isn't going to go away. So it's there. We don't have to compound and say, oh, well, you were doing 6 posts a month, now you need to do 12. That is not the case. We just write additional topics and maybe mention the original topic once a month or a couple times, you know, once or twice
Link
a quarter.
Link it where it's relevant in new content.
That's right. Exactly right.
I'm curious. I know some people are going to be like, sounds great, but how do I even figure out what not only what the terms are, but like how to figure out what search volume looks like for these kinds of things. And in that, I know there's some nuances to, okay, well, if it has a ton of search volume, it might also have a lot of competition. And how do you find something that's like a good happy medium of you can compete with what's there? Anyway,
I do think that's a benefit of where we were able to find ourselves, is that it was highly searchable, low competition.
That's exactly right. Highly searchable, low competition. But for people who are not, who don't have the 6 years of amazing content that you have, my recommendations for those clients is it's okay. You can still achieve similar results. And so I use a couple of like professional tools, but I highly recommend a tool called Uber Suggest. It's Uber Suggest. It's $10 to $20 a month, and use it for a few months and then you can cancel it. But it gives you search volume. So you can figure out whatever topic, you can see how many people are searching for it and what the competition is. So as an example, if you're kind of new to this whole keyword thing, if you wanted to write an article about wedding photography, well, there's 1,800 million wedding photographers in your city. And so it's really difficult to stand out. But if you get more defined and more niche-y about maybe you're, you know, a destination wedding photographer, maybe, you know, you just get more niche-y, then we can find keywords that are easier to rank for. Now, for you guys, I mean, if you're not you guys and you want to kind of, if you want to start out, I recommend that you write articles that contain the big keywords that have a ton of competition, and then also write articles and link to them that have the longer version of the keyword or a more niched down keyword, I want to make sure that from multiple angles, multiple search inquiries, that people can find your content. And as long as it's all interlinked together, people will find it. And I know I'm saying a lot right now, but when somebody Googles, Google is going to watch and see that keyword that people Googled and see where they go. And so if they go to your website, they click around, they spend time on it, Google's going to assume that you're a great answer to the search inquiry. So they will grant you more keywords and higher ranking for those terms. So write a lot of content, make it a little nuanced, try to target big keywords and also the niched ones.
Yeah. No, here's the thing. I know a lot of people are... The idea of writing content can feel overwhelming, mm-hmm. but it's also free. Like, yeah. And I really like thrifty things that improve my business, mm-hmm. and I'm not afraid to pay to play. Okay. So I'm not going to be the person telling you, I will never spend a dollar on Facebook and Instagram.
We do every day.
It's true. We do every day. And we definitely did a lot to, you know, grow the business initially before we paid to play. But with everything happening in the pay-to-play space, which, by the way, is just way more expensive than it used to be, period.
And less effective. More expensive and less effective. So there is a double bonus. Yeah,
they're great marketing strategies for themselves. Let me make it harder for you and charge you more money.
Exactly.
Ready?
Right. Exactly.
Sounds great.
So, and that's why I think it's such a great opportunity to, you know, if you're thinking about how can I see results. I'm not saying you shouldn't do some of those things that create more short-term momentum, but what can you do that's going to serve you more long-term? And especially depending on like the service you offer, it could be really critical that you rank, because there's some services that are just way more search dependent anyway. Like if you're in specific industries, like the wedding industry, or you're a photographer or whatever,
anything local.
Yeah, if you have any sort of like local presence where you need to have people in your area find you and connect with you, getting organic ranking is so critical and such an important piece of the puzzle. And it doesn't always have to be blog content. Like it can still be pages on your website. Mm-hmm.
Or video or podcasts or any way you want to put out content. Yes. Sorry. I'm going to stop.
No, don't stop. I just think it's such a critical opportunity for people.
I think you bring up a good point, Abby, and I'd love to get your take on this, Meg, if you have any tangible piece of advice, because I feel like we just kind of like winged it and hoped that it was going to work out, and it did, but we've pivoted our business multiple times. We've pivoted who we're talking to, the literal offers that we have. We went from services and serving one-on-one clients locally to all around the world, digital products, to having a podcast, like literally so many different things. And I think people start to get really overwhelmed when they start to pivot and their content is going to change because of who they're talking to or what they're selling. We have used the same website. Like our blog has always been on our same website from day one. So I feel like that is a huge benefit, even though we've changed the topic. But are there any sorts of things that people can be looking for? Of like, if they are going from, you know, not existing at all to wanting to be seen, to maybe tweaking what their offer is or who they're talking to, how can they kind of make that transition in a healthy way for Google so that they like don't lose ranking and can continue to grow?
Absolutely. Well, you did the right thing. Leave your blog, leave your content, because I guarantee that people have pinned it, they've saved it, and that it is getting traffic. If you are completely changing things up and you're changing your offers, then I would identify those articles that are, or those posts, those pages on your site that are really talking to the wrong offer or your old audience, and leave it. Leave the URL the same, and I would put a pop-up or a big box at the top of the page and say, so glad you're here, friend. Turns out we're no longer offering this, or this is no longer our niche. So please go here and link them to another page. I guarantee you have old content on your site that's bringing you traffic. You might as well help them understand and grow with you and show them where to go. They don't know otherwise. Mm-hmm. So don't take away your articles. and then continue to write about new stuff. Also, tell your story. Tell your audience why you're switching and what you're switching for and the value that you're going to provide to them. Make it easy right. for them to make that leap of, oh, you used to sell services and now you sell products. Tell me more about that. It's, right. it's totally doable.
One of the changes we made to our blog a while ago, and I think has really helped with this, is we took away the dated version in the URL. I'm not saying Google doesn't pay attention to the date you publish. They do, but like it's smart enough at this point to not need it in the URL to be effective. But one of my favorite little hacks that we've done over the years is once we got rid of the date, and I mean, we'll still do it to old posts too, but we'll never change the URL. The URL is the URL regardless. Mm-hmm. But we've absolutely gone back and cleaned up old blog posts or tried to make them more relevant to mm-hmm. our current audience, leaving like the general topic or the general feel the same. Mm-hmm. And not breaking the link is such a critical piece of that puzzle. But it's allowed us to refresh things over the years so that, you know, if it is getting traction, like let's continue to like add value to it rather than kind of let it drift away over time.
Which is exactly what we've done with that one article from 2016 that's bringing in the majority of your traffic. You have updated it. We haven't changed the URL, but we do have at the top updated May of blah, blah, blah. And so it is fundamentally the same article that, you know, went viral 5 years ago, but it has newer, more relevant content. And Google sees that. So Google is able, you know, in Google's perspective, a lot of the times newer content is a better answer. In some industries, of course, that's true, right? Where the most recent content is more relevant and better. Now, and that is kind of true in our services-based product-based world, but if it is a piece of content that has historically gotten a lot of traffic and pulled a lot of engagement, Google will put that high on the search results page because it knows it's a real winner and that users will get the answer they're looking for. Because remember, Google doesn't feel like it always, but Google is on our side. They want to provide the best answer for every search inquiry because they get paid by us using Google.
Mm-hmm. Right. Want to learn exactly step-by-step how to get paid to generate leads in your business? I've kept these details to myself for far too long. I'm ready to spill everything and give you the exact steps that help me generate tens of thousands of qualified leads and millions in low-ticket digital product sales. I won't just show you what I did, but teach you how you can do it too. I'm talking not just how to create low-ticket digital products, but also showing you how to use them strategically to generate leads for your other existing or future offers. I'm sharing it all at bossproject.com/jumpstart, including exactly how I made $8,033 and generated 277 leads my very first month selling digital products. Find out more at bossproject.com/jumpstart. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. I love that Indeed makes it easy to hire because I'm busy enough already. When we've hired in the past, the process was full of unqualified applicants. With Indeed, we can target the right candidates for the right position. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/strategy hour. Just go to Indeed.com/strategy hour right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/strategy hour. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Money issues are a common stressor in any relationship. Monarch Money is the top-rated personal finance app that can get you and your partner on the same page without any extra cost. Monarch has built-in collaboration features, so together you can see your finances, budget, and get insights on your cash flow. It's the easiest way to manage any household finances. I've tried other finance apps in the past, and they didn't work the way I wanted them to. I don't want to stress over finances. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, set goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/strategy. Monarch has a tool that allows you to easily import your data from Mint and keep all of your tags and categories. Monarch's simple, intuitive design makes it so easy to get set up, customize, and use. Monarch prioritizes my privacy, and they'll never sell my data to third parties. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/strategy. That's monarchmoney.com/strategy for your extended 30-day free trial.
Now, I'm curious, what's your take on making sure that once they land there, like maybe you made the topic really clickable and not clickbaity, but clickable because you want to actually tell what you're like, the contents need to match what
you
you're saying.
You won't believe what happens to this VA client.
Yeah. So once you got them there, how do you get them to stay? Because I know Google really values you staying on the page a long time and you visiting multiple pages before you, what they call bounce. How do you improve that?
Oh, that's a great question. I have a couple of ways to answer this question. If it's an article that's, say, 1,000 words or less, then my recommendation is to have, if it's about 1,000 words, I like to have about 3 headlines throughout that content so that we can make it very skimmable. So when users get to a page, they're like, oh, this isn't a huge article, this isn't a novel, and they can skim through and see the main points and headlines. So my first recommendation is to make it skimmable and make specific headlines throughout the content. Now, if this is like a novel, 1,500, 3,000, 5,000 words, if you're going deep dive into an article, my best recommendation for long articles is to do a table of contents at the very top so that users can Google and they come to your page and they see the topics that are covered throughout this long form of content. So create a table of contents and, like, you know, you can do like that super jump from the anchor jumps from, you know, you can click on chapter 4 or whatever and it will bring you directly there. So and ultimately that still makes it skimmable. Make it easy for people to find the answers that they're looking for. Make your content very friendly and very readable.
Right. I think one of my favorite like tips for readability is really thinking about how you can break it up more, like not just subheadings, but making your paragraphs significantly shorter, using bullet points, using numbered lists, utilizing bold and italics, that kind of thing. You really just want to think about how can you pull things out, and you don't want it like littered throughout. But I think if you're consistent with how you edit things, it makes it much easier to read. And my biggest tip for readability, and I've said it before, but if you have yet to try to read your own content on a phone,
do that first.
Please do that, because you're going to quickly notice, oh, I mean, this is technically only 3 sentences, but it's taking up half my screen because I just am really chatty. So like, make your sentences shorter, break them up more often, all of those kinds of things.
100%. There is a pretty big deal dude who's an SEO, and he has long form blog posts. They typically are about 1,500 words each, and his rule is no more than 2 sentences in a paragraph, and his sentences are short. Right.
So yeah, we do 2 to 3.
Yeah. Because, you know, you have to think about your audience. They're, you know, they're reading it as they're cooking dinner, as they're waiting at the car line for school. They're doing it, you know, while they're drying their hair. I mean, we're finding pockets of time to learn. And it's not like we have 2 hours set aside to sit and read articles. No, we kind of fit it in as throughout the day. So make it easy for them. If you can read it while drying your hair, then that is a successful blog post.
Well, we do try to mix in, you know, because we have a beefy amount of posts that are very tech-based. So they're showing you how to use something, how to set up something, how something is like literally functioning within a system. And so for blog posts like that, like the paragraphs might be a little bit longer, but we still really try to integrate video or photos every second we can so we can show what we're talking about and talk about what we're talking about. But it's the skill set of getting your point across so people understand you, showing it in multiple medium formats on one blog so that people can learn in the way that they know best, and also getting to the point. So you're not like, okay, I've been trying to explain this thing 10,000 different ways.
That's right? Exactly right. Yes, yes, yes. You have to appeal to all of your users, and all of that will be engaging, right? Like, Google does look to see if users are engaging with your site. And so if you have video or audio or lots of pictures, that's going to, I mean, obviously people are going to spend time looking at it and learning from you. So I highly recommend kind of reaching people where they're at, and for the goal to be really helpful. And then the secondary goal is Google will give you happy points.
Speaking of the helpful, I think this is an important differentiation, because I know over the years, people have written content with a variety of purposes in mind. And I want to like make a differentiation between the type of content we're talking about and maybe some of the like old school methods you maybe did in high school or like when you first started blogging.
You mean like my live journal on Zanga?
Yeah, exactly like your live journal on Zanga. And okay, here's what I'm saying. People come to your website because they're looking for a solution to a problem. 99% of the time. When you go to Google, are you asking questions or are you saying, how does Abigail feel on a Tuesday? Like, you're just, you know what I'm saying? So like, I'm not suggesting that you can't write content that has like all the feels in it, but it serves a completely different purpose for you and your business. I mean, in the past, in my health business, I've definitely written posts that have a lot more feeling and emotion to them, and I'm sharing my story. And that's an incredible way to connect with potential prospects and ultimately like convert them if you're trying to like get them over the hump or they need to feel a certain way to want to work with you. But the posts that have done the best on search platforms like Google and Pinterest are the ones that ultimately solve like an actual problem. And one of my hacks for this is like, if you're trying to meld the two, is write your title as if it is solving the problem, include solutions to the problem in there, and then mix the story in throughout. Because I really prefer if you are trying to connect with people in that way, that you include, you do both at the same time, rather than trying to make it a really emotional thing. You know, the other thing I've seen, and it's been a while, but it used to be a trend that like, especially for photographers, that they would make, and designers too, where they would make a blog post for like every client. And I just want to remind you, the purpose of that is not to rank on Google. The purpose of that is so that your client loves it, feels really emotionally tied to it, and they share it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. And so the content we're talking about today is completely different. It's for people who mostly have never interacted with your business before, people that are looking for a solution, and they come to a search platform hoping they can find something. And what shocked us the other day, and I want to touch on, how many new people come to our website every month?
Yeah, it's like 85 to 90% is all new traffic. And just to kind of reiterate and touch on what you had said, Abby, is I love that high-end, high-touch, vulnerable storytelling, because storytelling works. But that works once people have landed on your site. So
yes.
You don't get a lot of search results for people looking for Abby's feelings on Tuesdays. It's answering a question. And then once they're there, that's where the magic of design and interlinking and really usability, like SEO is a layer of of your whole business. And it's important because if you get new people here by providing a quality answer to the question, then get them here and then show them your other content. Say, oh, if you want to learn more about me, click on this. But you have to answer the question. And then once they're on the site, make it easy for them to learn more about you.
Right, right. And I think about, there's still some bloggers out there that I consider more in the influencer realm rather than a service provider. And the way they utilize content on their website is just inherently different.
Right.
Especially if they are in a business where they're selling via affiliate links, because a lot of that stuff is like, the sale is this weekend, or like it's only going to be good for this season or whatever.
But they're still coming at that story and in this stance of solving a problem.
No, I don't disagree with you on that. But it's not necessarily content that's going to live a long time.
Right,
it might be their Friday recap where they shared all the things they wore that week and then sales that are coming up and whatever. That might work for social to push them to a landing page, but that's not necessarily content that's going to serve them 2 to 5 years from now.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think, those are intentions that are helping them build a brand of people who do want to read what they're putting out there. So I do think having a mix of that short-term content is okay, but it's a long-term content that's really, really going to serve the foundation. But I want to go back to new visitors.
Yeah,
I would love to know, that literally blew my mind and I'm still processing it. B, is that a trend that you're seeing in a lot of clients that you're working with? Are we just like super special and different? Like, what can you tell us from your data brain of everyone else that you're seeing? What does that actually mean?
You are super special.
Thank you.
Very special. I mean, we want a balance of new and returning people. We want our people to love us and then to give us money month after month, day after day, year after year. Mm-hmm. But we also have to get new people. And so your percentage of new clients or new visitors to your site is extraordinarily high. And I think people are finding you for some of your content, the content you have written. Whereas I think your direct traffic, people that come to you, they are looking to see your latest content. They've probably read, they come to you on a regular basis, they get your newsletter, they link directly to you. And so they just want to read the latest and the greatest. But I think the majority of people are looking for an answer, looking how to set this up, looking how to design this in Canva, wondering how to write a proposal. And so they're finding you for your archive of content, and they probably don't know anything about you.
Yeah.
Well, and I think if I'll add my 2 cents here, Emily, I think part of it is likely because of just the unique division we've created in how we have our site set up. I don't think the typical business would set their business up in the way we have, but like literally don't do this. we have 5 sites and there's pages all over the place, but like, If you're really thinking about entry points, our main site is the content lead generator, prospect builder, and all of our other sites are either sales oriented or they're serving the people that are paying, but they're not on the same site, which makes it like extraordinarily odd because we've removed all that traffic and pushed them somewhere else.
Yes. Yeah, literally no paying person lands on our website.
Right.
I mean, they could, but they don't stay very long.
No.
Right.
And they go to log in.
But I found that really interesting in the sense of, and I encourage you guys to look at this information in your own Google Analytics. If you have this set up, I think
they can
see that, right?
Yeah.
Even if they just have like regular Google Analytics console set up.
Yep.
Because it drastically changes, to me, how you're literally talking to your people in your content. And I think for so long, especially if you do this for years, you get used to just like, you picture, at least I do, I picture writing to the same person who's like pulling up our blog time and time again. And she's like, just wanting to know what the last thing that we wrote was. And that's just not the case. And I feel like that it's small changes that you can make in a different way that you're introing you and your brand in every blog post, or maybe you have a footer at the end of every blog post that does introduce you or leads back to a different, maybe it's an article about your story and your brand or your business or how you can hop on a call with you or whatever it might be. So I think really just recognizing of the different channels that you are putting out content, social, your email list, your website, whatever, what stage of those people are they in so that you can tailor how you're talking to them to best fit where they're at?
Well, not to like totally mind fuck you right now, but for perspective, Emily, we have a T Swift level stadium of people who've never met us before, and we come on stage and wave for 2 minutes.
Not even 2 minutes.
And hope that they remember us when we walk off stage.
Yeah.
Like it's the volume is crazy. And obviously you want to make an impression really quickly, but it's not always
easy to do
that.
We're doing that every single month.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Every month. Yeah. And especially
a new group of people is what she's saying.
With a new group of people. Like, so yeah, let's put brass tacks on this for the goal that you guys came to us with back in January of like, we really want to rank well for this specific topic, this affiliate that we want to work with. And we raised our visibility with new people who were just looking for that third party. They didn't even know that you existed. And that's all brand new people. And it will be delightful to them when you're like, hey, if you like our content on this, we have written about it in all of these different angles and opportunities and all these other areas. So, yeah, you know, I've been, ever since we kind of were like, holy moly, look, hello, Taylor Swift. It's like, how do we do that? Like, is it an intro? Is it a thing at the bottom of the blog post? Is it adding a start here? Or are you new here? Is it updating the sidebar? There's lots of different ways we can tackle it, but we absolutely need to kind of get our teeth in these new visitors so that they're not just one-time friends and that they come back day after day, month over month.
You know what? I think Emily, the solution is you're going to put on like one of those like sparkly leotards and sing a tune.
Okay.
And it'll just start playing
okay.
the moment someone lands on our website.
You guys know we love a good tune. If you listen to our other podcast, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And I think you will get a whole other audience with sparkly leotards and singing. Whether or not purchase.
You might mess up all of your ranking if you do that.
I'm just saying, I know that there's an audience for that. I'm just not sure if that's ours.
Ever. Meg, come on. Okay. Well, I really want to just kind of attempt to wrap this up with some tangible takeaways for people. So if they are thinking about creating content that's more purposeful, that's going to last for their business for a longer period of time, and they want to target one product, one service, one offer, and start ranking for it. What are the next like 3 to 5 action steps they should take in the next 30 days to really move forward with that goal in mind?
That is a great thing. Number one, be very specific with your goal. Have a goal that you want to be known for and you want to be found for. Then commit to consistently showing up as an expert in that. Do a 101 post. Write about all of the basics, all of the terminology, and then go and Google. See what other people are searching for. If it happens to be a product or a software, go see if you can get into their knowledge base or their support. See what questions people are asking, and then answer them with your take on them. Show your perspective on how it can solve problems. But the big goal is to talk about this topic from multiple angles so that you can get all of the different people who are searching for it. And the biggest key is to link your articles together. I love suggesting doing ultimate guides. So once you have written all of these articles, collect them all together in a landing page or, you know, a blog page and say, here is your go-to for such and such. Maybe you can include a video if you want to do a good couple of paragraphs of content and then list all of your pages that you have written about so that Google sees that you are an expert in this, that you've written lots of articles, and then you make it easy for your audience to figure out, to binge read you. We want to be Netflix. We want people to be watching, and then suddenly the screen comes up and says, are you still watching? And you're like, duh, yeah, I am.
Click, keep going. Yeah.
And so yeah. Our dream is binge reading, binge consuming your content. So find a goal, write about it, consistently show up for it, and link those pages together.
I think I want to add one more goal to that because we are just now implementing this. And it's funny that it came right before our meeting with you when you were like, 800,000 million people don't know who you are and they're landing on your page for the first time. We don't have the results from this because it's literally the first month that we're doing it. But because we do want a healthy blend of our existing audience to know that we push out valuable content literally every single day, every single week. If you need a resource, I guarantee you we've got it. And so we've been trying to be more intentional about sharing that we do that stuff. So we do it on social really well all the time, but we have a piping hot email list that like doesn't know about the content that we push out all the time. And so we started doing Friday recaps on Instagram stories months ago, and it's going really well. It's just like, here are the blogs that were released this week. Here are the podcasts that were released this week. Here's like a product or a freebie that you might not have heard of. Well, we're now doing it in our Facebook communities, and then we're implementing it inside of our email list. And so once a month, you're going to hear from us of the roundup of things that were released that month. So it's like in a silo. It's not everything we've ever done, but it's the most recent up-to-date content. So we can start to maybe see. It'll be interesting because I do want that number to go down slightly because we have such an amazing audience and we have a ton of people already who I want to be utilizing the stuff that we're putting out. And right. So I want them to start to see that we have it. So that will be like a part two follow-up of this conversation. But my takeaway for you guys is don't forget to share about the shit that you're writing about right. and pushing it out there and telling your email list and social and everywhere because it is valuable content and people want to hear about it.
Yeah, yeah, you are too good not to be found. So
yes,
write
yes.
about it, tell people about it, remind people, and then make it easy for them to get. Like, you know, it's like the cookbook answer, right? Like you exactly. don't need to buy cookbooks because there's a million recipes on the internet, but it's really nice to pull out a cookbook right and get, and read it and get your answer and not yeah. have to go and find it.
Right. Well, I want to just give you a plug because I think people need to know, like, A, if this sounds overwhelming and you need support, Meg and her team are freaking fantastic. Aww. And when I say we had a goal and we met it, we like blew it out of the water. I just wanted to like increase it a little bit. And we're somewhere between 4 and 5X what we were making with that one affiliate. And I would say 85% of that result is this like very specific intention. Not that we didn't push it out on Instagram,
right. but everything begins to email. Help everybody when
right.
it's all working. Yeah.
So it made a huge difference. So if you're interested in hiring Meg or her team, Meg, where can they find you online and connect with you to ask more questions?
So excited. Clapping Dog Media, clappingdogmedia.com. That's my handle on Instagram and all of the socials. So come find me and I would love to help implement because for reals, SEO is just a layer of your overall business. And if we can fine tune it right, it just shows that the rest of your business was already killer. So we just fine tuned it and we're able to make your content make a bigger impact. So SEO is kind of like the megaphone or the microphone that we just hold up to your content and then it becomes so much more impactful. So we try to not make it scary. My goal is to make it fun and doable because it is so impactful.
It is. And it truly is fun. You're getting the results.
It is.
It's really, really fun. So thank you, Meg, for being here and sharing a little piece of your brain today.
You are welcome. It was a pleasure.
Looking to elevate your brand without the headache? Join the Co-op, our creative template shop membership. With thousands of easy-to-customize templates, all crafted to seamlessly fit your business aesthetics, we make nurturing leads and driving sales effortless. We're talking serious impact and seriously simple creation. Become a member now at creativeshopcoop.com and transform your business today. That's creativeshopcoop.com. Hey, a few quick favors before you leave. I'd love if you'd share today's episode, send it to a friend who needs to hear it, and post on social. You can show us where you're listening from, your favorite takeaway, or why someone else should listen. Be sure to tag me at Abigail Says and at Boss Project so we can share it. Okay, second favor, to get podcast updates and all the behind the scenes news from Boss Project, I'd love if you'd join my VIP list. Just head to bossproject.com/signup to make sure I have all your contact details. Really love this show? It would mean so much to me if you'd leave a rating and review. It not only helps more listeners find the show, but allows us to bring on quality sponsors so we can keep bringing you this valuable content for free. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.